Well, what a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Tremendous. It's been a real blessing to us all day. And it's a real family team serving the Lord. And many of you remember Brother Kevin preached our teen youth camp. And so they've got some preachers in the family. And so we've asked the oldest one, though he may be a little more wore out, we've asked him to bring the message tonight. Brother Walker, it's so good to have you, and we're looking forward to it. Amen.
Okay, thank you. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Appreciate that. Thank you for those kind words. And we enjoy serving the Lord together as a family and as a team. If you haven't already, stop by our ministry display table, pick up one of our prayer cards. It's guaranteed to keep the bugs out of your Bible. They're free tonight. Has pictures of all the families. On the back's got our contact information, a picture of Champ and Dixie Dog back there. And we appreciate your prayers. And it is an honor and a privilege to serve God together as a team and as a family. And we thank the Lord that He's made a way for us to be able to do that. And what a blessing that is. And I hope that you'll stop by our ministry display table. We're not a traveling department store, but we do carry some things that could be a blessing or a help to you. I believe in the right to bear arms. I believe you ought to be locked and loaded. You just never know when you have a chance to shoot the gospel gun. Amen. This is a little laminated soul winning tool. Got pictures on it that illustrate the gospel. And it's just a great tool to have on your person, because you just never know when you might have an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ. 100% waterproof. You can lead people to the Lord in the rain, underwater, even if you're a mind to. But it's a great tool to use with children or for you to use on anybody, because a picture says 1,000 words, and people understand and comprehend 85% more if they can see it as well as hear it. One of our newest CDs back there on the table is Heaven Bound. We sang some of those songs here to you today, all encouraging songs about heaven. And there's a song that we sang yesterday to the Patriots ministry there about everything won't be there. And that's a fun song. You'd enjoy that one. And on and on, there's a dozen songs on here. But the songs of Zion encourage our heart and lift our spirits, don't they? And if you like the banjos, mandolins, guitars, and fiddles, well, that's what's on here. And stop by and take a look. I promise you all the proceeds will go to a needy family. Amen? By the name of the Walkers. But anyhow, Roundup Ministries took over Christian Womanhood magazine a few years back. My wife's the editor of that, and it's a great publication for ladies for you to have in your home. Somebody once said, you can't go through a coal mine and not get some soot on you. It means you're influenced by things, rubs off on you. And I hope you have some things in your home that'll rub off on you and help you. And you ladies are the spirit of the home. And a great part of the spirit of the church. And so therefore, if we can keep the lady spirits right, that really helps. Oh, yeah. And this could be something to just be an encouragement. And Loretta's the editor, and they have many different writers that write articles in here that will apply to you and your life and would be a blessing to help to you. I hope that you stop by, take a look at that. It's very well read, put together. We have a lot of preachers to get this and read it, because they say, we're trying to understand the women of our church. I don't know if it's worked yet, but they're trying. But anyway, but men, how would you like for your wife to rise up and to call you blessed, to meet you at the front door with a kiss, with the remote control in one hand, a little bell for you to ring for service in the other, your favorite meal simmering on the table, all the children are in their places, quiet, the house is picked up, ready for company. Yes, sign her up for Christian Womanhood. It could change your life. Amen. But anyway, stop by, take a look. And then we've got many other books and materials back there. This one we just got back in publication, a Bible and Prayer Journal. Somebody once said, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. Yeah. And it's just a tool that might help you be more effective and scheduled in your Bible reading. Got several different plans there and a little challenge, and it's just basic, straightforward stuff that'll help you. And then it's got a prayer list in there, and it's everything's all sectioned off, and it's got for you to pray for your family, for friends, church family, preachers, missionaries, on and on. And people that have a prayer list get prayers answered much more than those that don't. And so I hope you get a prayer list. Somehow, some way, you're working on it, you're using it to help you remember. And then you can write down when those prayers was answered, and you can look back in that history and see what God has done. And by the way, this Bible prayer journal will be activated whenever you get one of our prayer cards. There's a little pouch you put here in the front, and you stick it in there, and it'll activate it, and all your prayers will be answered, okay? So just want to tell you about that so you know, but stop by there, take a look here at the end of the service if you would. Take your Bibles if you would. I want you to turn anywhere because it's all good. Amen. Philippians 3. Yeah. One of these?
You want a wireless one? I mean, like a lapel?
No, I can grab one of these. That was all right. Okay. Okay, I'm on. Is it all right if I preach with this one? Sound men? Okay, good. Sorry to wake you up. They was watching the ball game. Here we go. Okay, we're on there. I appreciate all of you that helped visit, knock doors, pass out flyers, invited folks to come for this last Sunday, your program. Thank God for the bus workers. They are some of the hardest working folks in the church. And Brother Barry, you got too many bus workers. He said, okay. I said, you have too many?
No,
oh, no. Okay. Okay. See, he's not here. He's. But I appreciate Brother Barry and Miss Sherry. I knew Brother Barry when he had a whole lot more hair. And I knew them before they had kids and they were happy. But something happened. No, I'm kidding. They got some of the meanest boys. But anyway, they appreciate their family. I've known them from going to their church and preaching meetings up there for years and years in Salisbury, Maryland, SBT. And he's a hard worker. They did not want him to leave. Now, I know you'd like for him to leave, but they don't want him to leave. They would take him back in a heartbeat, I'm telling you. But he's a hardworking man. And thank the Lord for him and this ministry. And thank you, Pastor Carter, for the opportunity to preach. We don't take it lightly. And we thank the Lord for this great church and what the Lord has used y'all to do all these many years. And y'all just keep it up. Amen. It's good. We love to go around the country and tell folks about some of our meetings. And it's always a blessing to be able to tell folks where we've been, and that everything's still going. Because sometimes you go back to churches and they go contemporary.
Yep.
And they're changing directions and you can tell it. It always starts in the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know a lot of them that changed their music and changed, you know, kind of going having that contemporary flair. And it happens. But thank the Lord, y'all are still just gun barrel straight. And still doing it. We thank the Lord for that. Let's stand together. Philippians chapter 3. Jump right into the message. Philippians chapter number 3. And verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, if you want to know what that word dung means, come on out to Champ's trailer, my horse trailer out here, okay? Champ's, he's out there, and we'll find some, okay? Refuse, waste, manure, okay? That's what the Bible says, okay? He says it's just dung. He says that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look down there, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the reading of it, and thank you for what happened today, and we'll praise you for it. Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight. Holy Spirit of God, as I yield myself to you, I pray you'd use me to be a help and a blessing to these, your people. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. Notice right there in verse number 13, Paul says there's some things that he wants to forget. He says, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. You know, there's stuff in our lives that we want to forget, and we try to forget. Okay? Yeah. Much, and by the way, the devil is a master at taking your past failures that we're trying to forget, and taking our past sins that we're trying to forget, and reminding you of those, making your future useless. He wants you to think you can't do anything because of the mess you made, because of the wrong things that you did. But I'm here to tell you, God forgives, and he will use you. And just because you've messed up doesn't mean that you just might as well commit suicide. Oh, you might not be able to do what he originally wanted you to do. And you might miss out on some things. And there's some things that would disqualify you from pastoring. But I tell you what, if you're breathing, God's still got a plan for you. And you can still be used. Oh, that's for sure. Corrie Ten Boom said, and the Lord forgives you. By the way, there might be some that don't know who she is. Corrie Ten Boom was a Christian Dutch watchmaker who helped many Jews escape during the Nazi Holocaust. And she was captured, and she was in a prison camp for a long time and suffered a lot of things. And she wrote some books about that. But she made a statement. She said, when the Lord forgives you a sin, he puts up a sign in the middle of the ocean where he threw your sins that says, no fishing here. Amen. Oh, yeah. That means don't dig them up. Right. Let it go. Bury it. Get past your past. He said right there in verse number 13, he says, I'm reaching forth. He said, I'm fighting gravitational forces that are trying to pull me back. And he said, I'm going to fight it, and I'm going to keep on going on. That's what you got to do, is fight those forces that hold you back. My uncle was a commercial fisherman over in Green Cove Springs. Man, I loved to go on vacation and go over there and see him. And he'd come in with his boats full of crabs during the crabbing season. And he'd bring them in open wooden crates without a lid. Now, I was a farm boy, a country boy. We just had about any kind of animal, you name it, we had it around the house there. And I'd never, fishing was a realm that was foreign to me. And when he brought in those wooden crates with open lids, I'm thinking, Uncle Billy, what's keeping those crabs in those crates? Why, if you try to carry some chickens in an open box, they're just going to take off. That doesn't work. He said, oh, he said, don't worry about it, Kevin. He said, they keep each other in. I said, what? He said, yeah, look, watch them. And sure enough, one of them crabs would try to climb out of that crate, and another crab would reach up and grab him and pull him down. And another one will try to get out. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. They grab you in the pool. About the time you're trying to get victory, the devil's always got that crowd waiting on you, and they're going to try to pull you down, try to discourage you, try to put out your fire. Amen. Oh, yeah. The devil's a master at sending those at the right time. And Paul says Paul had an unforgettable past. I'm sure he could never forget holding those coats when Stephen was stoned. Oh, he was a persecutor of Christians. Now, don't you think that haunted him? And I think that's what he's talking about. He says, I got to forget that stuff. He said, otherwise, it would render me useless. I got to keep on going. Now, what is it that motivates you? What is it that drives you? We were down in Napa Springs, California, and they had testimony service after a big day, a bunch of people saved. And, oh, man, they were giving testimonies. And one lady that was new to the church said, I wondered, why does Ranger Walker do what he does? Drags his family all around this country, teaches that dog and horse to do all those behaviors, put instruments in the hands of his youngins, and they learn to play and sing and on, gathering up that cowboy carnival and all that equipment. What would cause somebody to do that? Drugs. No, I'm kidding you. What? They believe me. No. What would cause you to do that? And she said, but after today, I think I see why. After all those folks that got saved, what is it that drives you to do what you do? Well, Pastor Carter, he's been here pastoring this church, what, 85 years now? What would cause him just to just don't stop? What would cause him? What would cause you to just hang around here? Well, don't answer that question. But what would, but no, what causes you to do what you do? I think they believe in something. I think there's a driving force that motivates them and encourages them. I'm motivated to be right and do right and to live right because of the influence that I leave behind. I got a phone call, or text message that is, from a dear friend. And I saw the picture and I just busted out laughing. I couldn't believe it. And she said, Ranger Walker, I asked Jack, who is her 6-7-year-old boy at the time. She said, I asked him what kind of a haircut he wanted. Because it was summer and it was going to be hot and I was going to shave his head anyway, but I just thought I'd ask him what kind of haircut you want. And he said, Mama, I want a Ranger Walker haircut. She said, Ranger Walker haircut? She said, yeah, you know, Mom. He's like, are you serious? Says, yeah. She gave him a Ranger Walker haircut. Funniest thing you'd see, a little 7-year-old boy, bald-headed with just a little ring of hair. She, now don't worry, Mamas. I know you're thinking, that's awful. I can't believe some mother would do that. Well, she just did it for the day. Then she shaved the rest of it off. Boy, that hit me. That boy's watching me. That boy wants to be like me. You leave an influence. You have a mark. People are watching you. That's why he says you have us for an ensample. An example to follow. I was 8-year-old. We had a snow day, 6 inches of snow, and it shut the county down, I'll tell you for sure. And I was glad because I didn't have to go to school. And that morning got up, boy, it was frosty cold, and opened up the door. My mama bundled me up because I wanted to go to the chicken house and help Daddy gather eggs. I like being with my dad. You like being with your dad? I hope your daddies, or some of you daddies out here, are worth being with. And if your kids don't want to be with you, there's something wrong. Well, I wanted to be with my daddy. My daddy's my hero, my buddy, best friend. She bundled me up, opened up the door. There's that fresh blanket of snow. Everything was just sparkling as the sun was just coming up and shining on everything. And I saw my daddy's footprints out there. When I opened up that door, you know what I did? I reached out because I wanted to put my feet right in the steps of where my daddy's shoes was, because I was going to follow him. People's following you. That influence ought to motivate you to be right and to do right and to stay in church. Ought to motivate you. It motivates us preachers to stay with the stuff. It motivates you. It ought to drive you. Man, what motivates me? Well, this influence. How my influence, how my life will influence other people is a motivation to me. What is it that moves me? Well, the desire to please my daddy moves me. Bible says over in Matthew in chapter number 3, verse number 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Heavenly Father looked down from heaven, and he said, that's my boy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, I hope, is your behavior putting a smile on the face of God? Don't you think the Lord looked down and he said, boy, that's my boys. They did it again here on this Sunday here. Woo, closing out that fall. I don't think you looked down from heaven, those bus workers, and said, oh, man, that's my youngins down there. Huh? Don't you think so? Oh, yeah. The desire to please my Father. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. You got the power to determine the happiness of your parents, or you got the power to break their heart. You got the power to put a smile on Papa and Nana's face. You got the power to make them cry themselves to sleep at night. You got the power to do that. You youngins do. Oh, man. No greater joy than to have your children doing right. Say, that's my boy. I graduated from Bible College. 1985, I graduated from Hiles Anderson College. And my daddy came to the graduation service. Oh, my daddy was so proud. I was the first one to go off to Bible school, let alone graduate from a college. Boy, that auditorium seats about 5,500. My daddy was back underneath the K-beams back there, and they had the graduation services. Then towards the end of it, they give away an honorary award that's supposed to typify their product, what they're trying to put out. And so I knew who it was going to be. I knew it. I had three fellas. I was like, it's going to be one of these three guys, without a doubt. And so the place was quiet. Everybody was wondering, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And he said, Kevin Lynn Walker. And I was as shocked as you are right now. I was like, what? What in the, are you? I could not believe it. I would have never dreamed in a million years. I don't know who paid the staff off. I don't know what happened. I walked up there just so humbled. And when I got up there, Brother House read the award, and he said some kind things, and he had just a way of making you feel loved. And he hugged my neck. It made me feel good to make my preacher happy. You got the power to make him happy. And then there was a brief moment of silence. My daddy was sitting in the back, and he couldn't take it no more. Next thing I know, he jumped up out of his seat, and he said, that's my boy! He was so happy. You know what? That did more for me than that award. I honestly don't know where the award is today, but I knew that that was a moment in my daddy's life that he'd never forget, and it made him so happy. Now that right there, that's something I hold on to, because we want our parents to be proud of us. We want our moms and daddies to be proud of us. We want them to pat us on the back and say that. And there's some of you that hadn't had that. You've missed out on that. You've not had parents that believed in you. And I don't know what that's like, preacher. My whole family is saved on both sides. I mean, I was born a Christian. I mean, really. Well, almost. But anyway, but no, my family on both sides, all saved, love the Lord. And so I don't know what it's like to grow up in an unsaved home. I don't know what it's like to have unsaved family and to go to family reunions and not having to put up with all the drinking and garbage and cussing. I don't know what that's like. And I thank the Lord for that heritage. Wow, what a blessing. Huh. Oh, I tell you what, nothing will make a parent any prouder. They need... You need, and you have a desire in your heart to please your parents. You're born with that. And so therefore, those of us maybe that have been out there and you haven't had the privilege of having parents to believe in you, I hope there's some of you that's picking up the slack. I hope there's some people that believe in you and say, my mom and daddy didn't believe in me, but my preacher did. My mom and daddy didn't believe in me, but boy, I tell you what, he did. Huh? You got somebody that believes in you? We got a desire to please people. That's the reason why a lot of people do what they do. That's a lot of times why girls dress the way they dress. They're trying to please the boy. Huh? The clothes we wear, the things we say, where we go, what we do, it's determined by who you're trying to please. Help us to please God. Hey, what motivates me? Well, I'll tell you what else. The answers to prayer motivates me. Yeah. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, Luke 18:1. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I think it's still here. Let me look. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And peace, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, you want peace? Pray. Yeah. He says, let it be known. Samuel Chadwick said, the devil fears nothing from prayerless labor. The devil fears nothing from prayerless toil. The devil fears nothing from prayerless studies. But when the weakest saint is upon his knees, all of hell trembles. Oh, yeah. Prayer is important. You might think, my prayer don't make a difference. Oh, it does too. Moses' prayer stopped the hand of God. He was going to wipe out the children of Israel. But his prayer stayed God's hand. Because of the prayer of Moses, millions of people's lives were saved. God was going to kill them. And he changed God's mind because of his prayers. Prayers do make a difference. Oh, yeah. You can live on that. Psalms 106, verse 26. God raised his hand to kill him, but the prayer of one man made a difference. See, we need to see God answer prayers. When's the last time you had a prayer answered? We need it. We got to have it. Huh? It increases your faith. It'll hone holiness in your life. Oh, great pulpiteers have fallen, but I've never known a great man of prayer to fall. You can't live in the holy place and live an unholy life. We were praying for a vehicle. We were needing a truck to pull our trailer when our cowboy carnival started expanding. We didn't start out with everything that's out there. We started out with one bounce house and 12 games, and then just on and on after that. And so we were expanding. We needed a truck to pull a trailer. And we were at a church up in Ohio, and one of the men in the church loaned our family a vehicle to drive around while we were there because we didn't have a vehicle that we towed and brought with us. And it was a King Ranch F-350. It was black. Black trucks are real pretty when they're clean. They show every speck of dirt. Oh, man, I tell you what. That truck, it was what year was that truck? You don't know? You know you're married to me, right? Okay, anyhow. I'm just checking. Sometimes she slips. But anyway, it wasn't that long, awful long ago. Anyway, this King Ranch truck, it was loaded. It had everything, all the bells and whistles, man. The windows were tinted, and it had a bed cover where you'd hit a button, and this cover would just roll out of this casing, bzzz, and it'd close it off. It had it was one of the first trucks that had that step in the tailgate. When you drop the tailgate down, you could pull out this step and it would drop down. And then it had an arm that popped up because it was jacked up a little bit, being a four-wheel drive and all. Man, you step on that step and get in the back end. It had lights all over it. Man, it had that saddle leather inside, the King Ranch saddle leather. Ooh, I tell you what, Brother Barry, you would have liked that. It was a nice truck. And you'd like this. It had one of them cigarette lighters. It's like just, no, anyway. But it was, it had all the, but you just name it. And it had it on it. And we drove it around, buddy. We just thought we was in high cotton. Woo-hoo-hoo, driving that big truck around. And we got ready to leave, and while I was there, he said, Brother Walker, the owner said, do you think that that truck could work for you, pulling a trailer? I was like, oh man, you know, F2 or F350 truck like that, yeah, he'd pull that trailer no problem. He said, oh, okay. Well, I had no idea what he was going to do. When we got ready to leave, I handed him the keys, said, thank you for letting us drive this. My kids have had a ball riding around in this truck. He said, why don't you just keep it? And I was like, yeah, right. He says, no, he said, I want you. He said, could you use it? And I'm like, well, yeah, I could use it. He said, well, just keep it then. And I was thinking, is he really going to give me this truck? I mean, he paid 40-something thousand, almost $50,000 for this truck at that time. And I'm thinking, are you sure? I said, are you just loaning this to me? He says, no, I want to give it to you. It's yours if you want it. You can use it. I'll sign that. And then I realized he is serious about this. I'm like, are you? He said, no, I want you to have it. He said, I don't need it. It sits in my driveway. I feel kind of guilty about having it anyhow. And he sold a business, and he took some profit from that and bought his dream truck, and he drove it around for a while. And he's like, okay, I'm done with it, Lord. And he just, the Lord told him to give it to me. I'm glad he was listening. Hey, are you listening? Are you listening when the Lord speaks to your heart to give or to do or to be a blessing? Oh, man, answers to prayer. He gave us that truck. I couldn't believe it. I went into the motorhome, and I said, kids, you're not going to believe it. I said, Brother Andy gave us this to the truck, and they just went Babdecostal. Wow! They were screaming and swinging from the chandeliers. If we had chandeliers, but anyway, but they was having a time. Answers to prayer. I could keep you here all night telling you answers to prayer and what God has done. Oh, man. By the way, that man had a daughter, and she ended up marrying my baby boy. That was part of the deal if you take the truck. Anyway, but we're not going there. We're not going there. Don't worry about that. I just let that slip out. Okay, just moving right along. Hey, last of all, we'll be done. Shoo, 15, 16 minutes. Coming in for a landing. Because preacher said I got to be done by 8:05. No, he didn't. But here you go. The problem is preachers don't preach long. Folks listen slow. If you just speed up your listening. Here it is. We'll be done. What motivates me? Not only the influence that I leave behind, not only to please my Heavenly Father, not only the answers to prayer, but the reality of hell. That moves me. Why do you do that? Why didn't you teach that horse to preach the gospel? There's a hell. Why didn't you teach the dog to ride the horse? Because there's a hell. Why didn't you learn to play a guitar and sing? Well, we tried to sing anyhow. Because there's a hell. Why did you carry around that cowboy carnival? Because there's a hell. Why do you do what you do? Or it says, Kevin, can you think of anything else that we could do? I said, well, if it helped get some people saved. I said, I'm thinking right now I need me one of them Polaris razors, you know, that I can. She said, what are you going to do with that? I said, we'll get people saved. Just teasing around with her. But if I had one, I'd use it to get people saved. Do you use what you got to get people saved? Oh, man, use it. Why? Because there's a hell, Luke 16:23, and in hell, Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a hell. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, the greatest truth that ever changed my life was when I realized everybody is going to have to spend eternity somewhere forever. That changed his life. Oh, yeah. It ought to change our life. Ezekiel 33 talks about the hands with blood on them because we don't warn them. I don't want people to say, you didn't warn me. You worked next to me. You came into my place of employment. You bought gas at our gas station. You bought groceries, and you never one time gave me a track. You never one time invited me to come to church. Well, I wouldn't want anybody to be able to say that to me, but I'm afraid there's going to be some. Because how many times has the Holy Spirit dealt with us about passing out a track and we say no? Witness to that person and we say no. The reality of hell
moves me. Oswald J. Smith said, God didn't call us to Christianize, but to evangelize. All you got to do is just put forth an effort to help get them saved. Then they're going to answer to God what they do with it. That's all you can do. I don't want to stand at that judgment and have somebody say, why didn't you tell me? Paul said in Acts 20, 26, 27, he says, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Boy, that's an unbelievable testimony. To think you are pure from the blood of all men. See, I'm telling you, preacher, I know that there's people out here and they have never told anybody about Jesus. They've never passed out a track. I know that. But it's not because they don't love the Lord. I know that. It's not because you don't love your church or don't love your preacher. I know that. You know what keeps you from doing it? A dirty four-letter word, fear. Fear. Fear will keep you from passing that because you're afraid of what people are going to say, think, or do. Fear will stop you short. Fear will keep you from doing it. You just keep on doing the same old, same old. Oh, God, get a hold of our hearts. Say, God, help me overcome that fear. And if you study out Acts chapter number 4, whenever the Christians were persecuted and they were told not to speak the name of Jesus and they gathered together and they had a prayer meeting and they prayed for God to give them boldness. And they left out of there preaching the gospel, turning the world upside down. God gave them boldness. Boldness comes from God. Ask the Lord to give you boldness. Why? Because there's a hell. That's why. I was preaching about soul winning at a revival in West Virginia. Brother Leonard Ludwig's church in Charleston. No, Clarksburg, West Virginia. And one of the services, an elderly lady walking with a cane came down front. And I said, if you've never told anybody about Jesus, I want you to come down. Well, first I said, if you have told somebody and you know how to win somebody, I said, I want you to come and pray and say, God, lead me to that next person that's nearest hell. So the soul winners were all should have come. Then I said, now, if you've never won anybody to the Lord, but you want to, you don't want to stand before God empty-handed, and fear has stopped you. I said, why don't you come down and shake the preacher's hand, and he's going to pray for you, and I want you to kneel and pray and ask God to give you the boldness and courage. And there were several that came down the aisle. Now, that took some boldness for them to leave their seat and to say, hey, that's me, preacher. And they were serious about it. See, these hidden decisions in your seats don't account for much. But when you leave your seat and use an altar is a barometer of the church. And if I go to a church and nobody uses the altar, I guarantee you it's just dry as cracker juice. It's just dead as last year's wasp nest. I mean, just dead, graveyard dead. Lord, deliver me from deadhead ding-dongs and dingbats. I don't like things that are dead. First Church of the Refrigerator, Mr. Freeze himself's behind the pulpit. Morticians play the funeral music while the pallbearers skate down the aisles, passing the offering plates while everybody is crying and weeping, bidding farewell to their dearly beloved dollars, and it's cold. Oh, well, she came forward and said, I want to get some people saved. And she prayed with the preacher. And she couldn't kneel, but she sat in that front row, and she prayed. That dear saint of God put feet to it. And the next night of the revival, across the street from the church was a rundown old house. And on the front porch was the hangout of all the thugs in the neighborhood. Any elderly person in the right mind would not have walked up to those boys and invited them to come. In fact, it would be the crowd you'd like for them to stay away. And the Holy Spirit said, go ask those boys to come to church. And you know what? She did it. When the Holy Spirit talks to you, I hope you listen. And she went over there with her cane, crossed the street, shuffling her feet, went over there to that porch, and those boys said, what do you want? She said, I'd like to invite you to my church across the street. And some of them laughed, but there's a couple of them that didn't. And they said, you'd let us come? She said, you all are welcome. She said, we'll be starting in a little bit. You all come on over. And she went inside, having done what the Lord told her to do. Two of those boys waited a little while, curiosity got the best of them. Holy Spirit of God spoke to their heart. And they came over and slipped in the back while I was preaching. When I had the invitation, those boys walked down the aisle and got saved. And when they was down there getting saved, that dear saint of God, she got up out of her seat and she was walking back and forth down here at the altar while they was being dealt with, and she was praying. She wasn't one of these ones that prayed real quiet and soft. I mean, she was praying, "Oh God, I pray you'd save these boys. I pray you'd help them see they're going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved." And I mean, she is pleading, making intercession for them boys that she had invited, walking back and forth across the street. And both those boys got saved, and they stood up and they were wiping the tears away. And the soul winner told her, says, "This one got saved." And she said, "Oh," she said, "I'm so happy." And she grabbed that boy and started hugging him and shaking him up and down. That boy never, he didn't know what to think. This lady hugging him, but she was so excited that God used her to get somebody saved. And she hugged that boy, and then the other one got saved, and she come over and hugged him, and his eyes bugged out, you know. But she was just so, it was, what a blessing to watch all that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the reality of hell will cause you to get out of your comfort zone. And when you see God use you, and God used that dear saint of God, and the preacher said, "Brother Walker," after that, whew, he said, she'd talk to anybody. She gives tracts out everywhere. She just witnesses to anybody that'll listen to her. Oh, yeah, once you get a taste of it. Yeah, what moves you? Oh, may we continue to be moved. May we continue to let these things influence us, because I don't believe we got a whole lot of time left. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I've preached my heart to these your people. They've listened so well. And I pray that tonight you would, Lord, just motivate us and move us. And Lord, we would take the, Lord, what's been going on here these big days in the program, and souls being saved and invitations being given. Lord, I just pray we just keep on up with it. Just keep going and not stop. I pray you'd help this church just to continue to build and to grow and to fill the empty seats, and decisions would be made for you. Oh, Lord, help us now. Do a work in our heart. In just a moment, we'll have the invitation. Some have already responded. We're going to stand together. The instruments are going to begin to play. And if you're here tonight and God has spoken to your heart, you slip out and come. If you want to come and say, "Lord, thank you for what you did today," you come. If you're here and you say, "Preacher, I've never won anybody to the Lord, but I sure would like to," why don't you come down and shake Pastor Carter's hand and say, "Preacher, will you pray for me that God would give me boldness and God would give me courage and God would use me to help get some people saved?" Oh, if he can use that dear senior citizen walking with a cane, oh, it's hard for her to go door knocking all day. She's probably not going to drive a bus, but I tell you what, as she goes through life, as she goes through her day, as she goes to the store, as she talks to people, she can invite them. She can give them a track. You just do what you can. I'm moved. Paul, what moved you? What caused him to press towards the mark? What caused him to do what he did? What's causing you to do what you do? Oh, I hope you'll evaluate it tonight. I hope God will use it to help you to keep on keeping on. I hope he'll use it in your life to motivate you and move you to take the next step. And if you're here tonight and don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you could be saved. Oh, we'd love to show you. We'd love to talk to you about it. There's preachers. There's men of God. There's folks that would love to pray and talk with you. You come knowing you're going to heaven, having that peace in your heart. Oh, that'll make a difference. Workers, be praying for more workers. Soul winners, be praying for some more soul winners. Oh, yeah, because not everybody in Haines City is saved yet. So we got work to do, don't we? Oh, thank you for what you've done. The preacher's going to come in just a moment and take over the invitation. But you obey the Lord tonight.
Please pray for me. I've got a hard heart and I need help.
To Jesus I surrender all, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Tremendous messages tonight, truths presented. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out our lack of boldness let a lot of folks go to hell. It's a strange thing about our human nature that we fear somebody saying something negative to us. Do you know that's all they can do if you witness to them? You'd be surprised how many folks are just waiting for somebody to tell them the truth. They want to know the truth. And instead of firing back at you, if they do, that don't hurt you. But you'd be surprised how few will actually do that if you'll boldly give them the truth. I've had folks say something like this to me. Preacher, I don't really believe that about Jesus, but I thank you for caring about me enough to tell me. Years ago here in town, there was a man that most of us grew up thinking about. He was probably a rich man, and we kind of fear those that have a lot, don't we? Yeah, we do. I don't know why, but we do. And I was in the hospital and saw that he was in there. Some of his family was with him. So I went to the door, and I knew he didn't know me, except maybe I was a preacher. And I asked him, could I speak to him? And I did. And I gave him some gospel. He did not get saved, but he and his family thanked me for caring enough to go say something to him. Lack of boldness. I really appreciate the message tonight. What motivates us? Hell ought to motivate us. It really ought to, as the preacher said tonight. I could probably get hands shown here in the auditorium tonight of people that were won by somebody that was bold enough to speak to them about the Lord. I've told this story. I'm going to tell it again real quick, shorten it up a little bit. It was a Saturday morning. We had bus breakfast like we do. It was the early years, and I was also working a bus route. I can take you right almost to the place. I went out that morning, and I was giving tracts, inviting people, trying to get bus riders. And I was in what we used to call trailer parks. I know they're mobile homes and all that kind of stuff now, but that's what we used to call them. And I was kind of shortcutting from one yard to the next. And kind of by surprise, I walked around, and for lack of a better word, I'm going to call it an old-fashioned motorcycle gang. Bunch of them there. They had some of their bikes turned up, working on them. And drinking beer and talking like, and I walked right in the middle of it. And of course they did what you would expect them to do. They started kind of mocking me and joking at me and everything. And one of them asked me the question, said, "What are you doing out here? What did you come around here for?" I said, "I just wanted to keep some of you fellas out of hell." That's what I said. And I went ahead and gave them a little gospel and went on to the next place. My wife can tell you we were already in bed. In fact, it was about 1 a.m. And a knock came on the door. We lived here behind the church at that time. And I opened the door. There was one of those motorcycle fellows standing there. He didn't have to tell me he was scared. It was written all over him. He said, "Preacher, I got to talk to you." He said, "I climbed up on the water tank tonight to jump off and kill myself. And when I looked down there, all I could see was the fire of hell that you was talking about." He sat on my couch that night. I led him to the Lord. I baptized him on Sunday morning. He got a couple of more of his friends, and they got saved. And we baptized them. That's been a long time ago. I don't know where they're at. Maybe dead, but I'll tell you what. Maybe by the grace of God, they missed hell. Missed hell. Oh, we're going to be so ashamed before the Lord that we were not bold enough to speak up against him, for him, and against the devil's side. I appreciate Brother Walker's message tonight. Great preaching. Great truths. Amen. Walker family has been a real blessing to us. Shake their hand. Tell them that. Amen. He spoke to us in they had the program in the Senior Patriots, and then what they did for us today. And some of those songs have got kind of a cutting message to them too, hadn't they? Amen. All right. It's been good. Praise the Lord. Pray for them. They got a broke down truck, and they got to get it fixed. And pray for them as they travel. I tell you what, to carry on I can't hardly get my car through Orlando. I don't know how they got all their trucks and stuff through there. My. But to be on the road with that entourage of vehicles and all that they're carrying, it's taking the grace of God, I'll guarantee you, to do that. Pray for them. God is using them across the country. I was way up in Chicago area not long ago, and I told Brother Walker, I said, I looked out there on a Wednesday night in the church I was preaching in, and there sat the Walker family out there in church on Wednesday night. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. Praise the Lord. All right, if you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. Amen. Appreciate all the hard work that went on today, and some of you should not be. Nobody should insist that you go to bed early tonight. You ought to fulfill a Bible verse. You know what verse that is? It says, sleep of a working man is sweet. Amen. You can fulfill that verse tonight. Amen.